Would you join me in prayer? Holy One, our rock, our Redeemer, your righteousness is unshakable. Your faithfulness is sure. Establish us in your word so that we may stand firm in faith and be steadfast in your service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So in the ninth grade, I built a model rocket. We all did. It was for an engineering class that was required for all ninth graders. But before we built the rocket, we had to design it. And the fins, it turns out, were the key to getting your carbon dioxide-powered tube to go straight up in the sky, deploy a parachute out of the nose cone, and land safely on the ground again. The teacher, Mr. Gottschalk, had set up this spreadsheet that was supposed to tell us whether the fins were good, and I dutifully entered the dimensions into it and got the okay. Now, I didn't understand all the math and physics that went into those calculations, but I just trusted that they were sound. And that turned out to be a big mistake. On launch day, Mr. Gottschalk set up my rocket on the launch pad and pressed the button to puncture the cartridge of high-pressure carbon dioxide. And the rocket immediately twirled in a wild loop, and my classmates and Mr. Gottschalk dove for cover on the ground as the out-of-control rocket veered toward them and then writhed around on the grass before expending its charge of gas. When I went to Mr. Gottschalk afterward to ask what had happened, he rifled through some papers on his desk and held up my carefully drafted drawing of the rocket. The fins he had circled in red pen with the words, "Looks unstable," written beside them. This is just the kind of thing, the kind of information that would have been helpful to have before I nearly killed somebody out on the athletic field. See, when you set out to build something, you want to be sure that you're building on a solid foundation. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus offers some words of warning and encouragement. These words come at the end of a spellbinding teaching that Jesus gave before a large crowd in the Galilee region, his home country. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus climbs up a mountain, but here in Luke, he gathers the crowd in a level place, and so we call this the Sermon on the Plain. Jesus spoke for some time about the kingdom of God. Last week in the lesson, we heard him talk about how the poor and the hungry and the grieving should take comfort and rejoice because the kingdom was meant first and foremost for them, to console them and fill them and provide them with an inheritance. And then he warned that those who were rich or full of food or content, that these things that they held now would not last. And he urged everyone to treat their neighbors and even their enemies with the same generosity and kindness that God shows to us, giving us always better than we deserve. Here we come to the end of Jesus' teaching, and Jesus is focused on just what it is he wants his listeners to carry away from them. And he urges them, first of all, not to worry so much about what's wrong with others. Take care of the log sticking out of your own eye before digging around for splinters in your neighbor's eye. This is a joke. You should imagine the crowd laughing. And don't ever let anybody tell you that Jesus wasn't funny. Jesus told jokes like this all the time. So as they're imagining this image of, you know, somebody with a log sticking out of their eye, Jesus says, look, what matters is what your heart produces. Just as a good tree produces good fruit, you don't get figs out of thorn bushes. They come from a fig tree. And a good grapevine doesn't produce brambles and thistles. It produces grapes. So a good tree produces good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruits. And trees are known for the fruits that they produce. And so it is with people, he says. Those with a well-conditioned heart produce good words and good deeds. Jesus shifts to a different image. What you want, he says, is to build a house on solid ground. In the desert in that part of the world, there were, and there still are, dry seasonal stream beds called wadis. Maybe in the American Southwest, I think we call them arroyos. And there's not typically much growth in these dry, sandy stream beds, so they might look like a good place to build a house. There's clear land here. Why not? But you'd never know the difference until the rainy season comes, and then you find that your house is at the bottom of a riverbed. The smarter approach, as those who live in that part of the world know, is to build your house up above the stream bed, on the rocks. So Jesus' words are a practical geology and construction lesson. Once you hear them, you've been warned. You know where to build now, and you have to be an idiot to put your house up in the middle of the wadi. But this works as a metaphor, too. The rain is coming, ready or not. Crisis is the test of any way of life, whether it can stand up not just in easy times, but in moments of hardship. The early followers of Jesus were persecuted, but they also endured the trials that came to them just because we're all human. They had the ordinary challenges came into their lives as well. It rains a lot in our lives. We've all lived through this time of pandemic. And apart from that, we all have things that land in our lives unexpectedly, maybe even welcome transitions, a new child, a new job, a new home that disrupt old, familiar habits. Because life doesn't stand still. And when the rains fall, when the rug gets pulled out from under us, when we get sick, when relationships come to an end, when we get laid off, that's when you learn the difference between a house built on sand and a house built on rock. But there's a different kind of rainfall. One, I think, is lurking in the background of Jesus' words here. Not the painful tragedies that are common to human life, but the awesome power of a God who loves the world enough to reshape it into something more beautiful and complete. Jesus and his hearers would have remembered that great story in the book of Genesis about the rains that fell in the time of Noah, literal rains. Those rains scoured the earth, cleansing it of the violence and oppression that had taken hold and clearing the way for a new creation. Noah was saved because he had listened to God and built the ark. And not just Noah, but his family and the animals he took with him. When the rain came, he was ready. And Jesus wants us to be ready for those world-shaping changes that God brings into our lives as well. People have argued about this sermon. Through the history of the church, some people have said that only priests and monks and nuns had to put Jesus' words into practice, and the rest of us could kind of ride on their coattails. In other words, we should try to crowd into the houses of a small number of people that are building on solid ground rather than trying to build our own house. And then some people said that because Jesus was the only one who could live this way of life perfectly, the way of life he described in the Sermon on the Plain, that the best that the rest of us could hope for was to ride out the storm and into the kingdom on his coattails. And then other people said that Jesus was just talking about ethical ideals that we should strive for, but in practice, we shouldn't feel guilty about making compromises. We should love our enemies unless they're really unlovable. But this is like saying that we should appreciate the blueprints, and it doesn't matter so much if we built the house. And that's not what I hear. I hear Jesus' words a little more urgent than these. I think he understood that his words were hard and that we'd often fail to put them into practice perfectly. Building a house isn't easy. One other time when I was building, I went to a Habitat for Humanity build in a nearby town when I was in college. And they asked me to do some framing work around a staircase And I'd never done anything like that before. I did my best at it for a little while, and the leader came around and kind of looked at it and frowned, and he said, I'll fix this up. Why don't you go paint with the others out back? Carpentry wasn't my strong suit. It was good to learn that at the time. And let's face it, there are things about the house that Jesus wants me to build that aren't my strong suit either. But isn't that precisely the point? Isn't that why God gave us each other? Why God gave us a church? If I'm building my house in the wrong place, I might not be aware of that. I might not be able to see it, but maybe you can. If I'm no good at carpentry, if I struggle to turn the other cheek, if I hesitate to be reconciled to my neighbor, then maybe I need your eyes and your hands to help me build. And maybe you need my painting skills or for whatever they're worth. It would have been nice if I had had the information about my rocket ahead of time. It's better if we can all work together on putting up the house that Jesus invites us to build. Because the rains are coming. It rains a lot in our lives, and these crises test our houses and their foundation. But kingdom people get to build their houses on Jesus' words together. We get to withstand the floods, to pull one another to higher ground together. We get to celebrate the transformation God is working in our world, to enter the kingdom together, giving thanks for the gift of solid ground. And so today, tomorrow, any day, is a time to get busy. It's time to put the words of Jesus into practice. It's time to build that house. Amen.